Today's Shi'ez Masechta Chulin Daf Ayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, 12 lines from the top. The primary halacha that we've been learning in the perek so far is that if an animal is a ben pekua, a fetus in its mother's womb, the halacha tells us that the animal that's in its mother's womb may be eaten just based on the shechita of the mother, but we also have been very focused in our shiurim that halacha is only if nothing of the animal stuck out its hand. But if part of the animal stuck out its hand, then the halacha changes dramatically, and that limb, as we've learned, certainly if it's still outside, cannot become permitted to be eaten based on the shechita of the mother. And actually, what we've also learned is that not only it may not be eaten based on the shechita of its mother when it's still outside, but we've been learning that it may not be eaten even when it puts its hand back into the animal's womb, and we will shech the mother, it will make the rest of the animal permitted to be eaten, but won't help us to allow that the baby. It won't help us to allow that the baby may be eaten, because as the hand to be eaten, even though according at least to Rav, it's back inside before the shechita took place. And now the Gemara begins with the following question by Rava: Halcha beivar nacharoiv. Do we say that if most of that limb is still inside the womb of the mother, it follows the roiv, and therefore it's considered like it never exited. Aloy halchu, or do we not say that aloy halchanach haroiv, and the fact that it is back, inside will not make it. The most of it is still inside, will not make a difference. So the Gemara drills down in trying to understand, Hechi Dami, exactly what is the situation that we are discussing. Hechi Dami, exactly what is the case that we're talking about. Ilem, as we just said, Kigoyin Shiotsu Roiv, if we have Roiv, the baby has exited the mother's womb, but the only way we're able to say that the Roiv has exited the mother's womb is B'tziruf B'meit Eber. The reason that we have roiv of the baby outside is because that small part of the limb is outside, and the kamibale, and therefore the question is, hai mit the bevroi, the little part of this animal that is outside, basa roiv eva shadin alam, do we not consider it outside? Because since most of that limb is not outside, the halacha will tell us that we don't consider it like it's outside. Yes, most of that limb is inside, and because most of that limb is inside, it's hard to consider it as if it's that this aver is an aver outside. But I'm not going to look at the aver, I'm going to look at the animal. And if I look at the animal, most of the animal, if I put this part to this, is going to be considered outside. So, in the previous shiurim, on Daf Samaches, the Gemara discussed the concept of yesh leida leivorim or not. Do we say that an aver has leida? And the Rishonim asked the question, shouldn't this be connected to that? And shouldn't we say that the part that's outside, is it considered born if you hold yesh leida levarim? Says the Ramban, even if you follow the opinion of yesh leida levarim, you'll say that only in a case where most of the aver exited the body. So if most of the aver exited the body of the animal, we'll say that there was a leida here. But here we're talking about a case where only a small part of the aver exited the body. And since only a small part of the aver exited the body, even if we hold yesh le de levarim, even if we hold that way, it would not be help us because most of it is still inside. Says the Gemara. Pshitat loy shafkina ruba da uber, says the Gemara. To us, that's not a question. Because says the Gemara, it's certain that we don't ignore the roiv of the uber, vaslina basa roiv aver. And certainly if most of the uber is out, and the only way we're only achieving having that roiv is because most of this aver is out, that only a small part of the aver is out, it doesn't make a difference. Because if the issue is to look at the aver or to look at the uber, we're certainly going to look at the aver, and we're certainly going to look at the uber and not the aver. Therefore, says the Gemara, what was the question? The question is, in a case kagon shiyotza chetzya b'roiv aver, we have 50% of the uber out, exactly 50% of the uber out, but the way we got the 50% of the uber is because we have roiv of an aver helping us achieve that 50%. And the question that we now have is kambailu hamit begavoy, the part of the aver which is the miut, which is still inside, mau lemishde basa roiv aver, will we connect it to the roiv of the aver that's outside? If we say that since most of this aver is outside, the halacha looks at it as if the entire aver is outside, so now we've been able to get over the 50% mark, and we have a case of most of the animal being outside, and as we know, the halacha is that once we have roiv outside, the baby can no longer be considered a ben pekua. Or we say what's outside is outside, and what's not outside is not outside. So Taisus Masechta Becharis points out that here we see that often in Shas there's a concept of Efshel Tzamtzeim or Efshel Tzamtzeim. And from here we see that we say Efshel Tzamtzeim because the Gemara is speaking about a situation, as we just said, where it's exactly 50%. If we're speaking about a situation where it's exactly 50%, it must be because we hold Efshel Tzamtzeim. So that's why from here we see the concept of Efshel Tzamtzeim. The question that the Rishonim discuss is our Gemara is discussing, as we began in our previous year, regarding Hilchas Bechaira. And will this be considered born and the baby is a born Bechar or not? But what about, is this a question as far as Ben Pekua or not? So the Rashba's opinion is that it's not connected to that question. The Rambam's opinion is that the question that the Gemara is asking applies both to Hilchas Bechar, and also to the halacha of Ben Pekua. It's regarding both situations to the degree that I saw that there are those that suggest that the questions that's being discussed in our Gemara is also relevant in all the halachas regarding sukkah. The question is that we know that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, the Chashuki Chemed has this discussion, you have to have Rosh Verubai B'sukkah. But if what would be the halacha where you have a good part of your body in the sukkah, you have most of your foot in the sukkah, but not all of it in the sukkah. And the way you're going to have Rosh Verubai B'sukkah is saying, well, since I have most of my foot in the sukkah, will the halacha look at it as if I have my entire foot in the sukkah? And the Chashuki Chemed wants to suggest, at first glance, that this is maybe very much connected to what we're discussing here regarding Bechor, for sure, or maybe even Ben Pekua. But then he says that it's not really the same. Because here, the discussion regarding Hilchas Bechaira is a halachic discussion. It's a halachic discussion regarding status. What is the status of this Uber? Is he a Bechor? Is he not a Bechor? That's a status question. When we speak about sukkah, it's not a question of status. It's a question of metzius. Am I mostly in the sukkah? Am I not mostly in the sukkah? And that cannot be determined just because of halachic principles of, do we follow just this part is in the sukkah? Will that be considered or not? Says the Gemara Toshma, Yotzer Rubai, we learned in our Mishnah, once most of the Bechor emerged from the mother, it's considered a Bechor, it has Kedusha's Bechor, and the Alachas HaReza Yekover, it has to be buried. Says the Gemara, my Ruba, what did the Mishnah mean with this? Asked the Gemara. Ilei Meruba Mamish, if we'll say that the Mishnah meant the Roiv of that baby came out at one time, so the question is, what's the Mishnah telling us that isn't obvious? An hashtalayash meaning, don't we know that in all principles of halacha, we always follow the concept of ruba kekulay? Elalav, what must we say? That speaking about a case, kigon shiyotza chetzya, we have half of the uber came out, but roiv aver. And the way we got to that half is roiv of aver came along. And now the Mishnah is teaching us that it's considered as if Roiv came out, and the reason we're considering it as Roiv came out is because there's a miut of that Aver that's still inside, but we say that that miut follows the Roiv. Kigon shiyotza rubai b'miut eber. The Kamashmon and our Mishnah is teaching us, the loy shafkinon ruba de uber, the behema fazlina basa Aver. That we follow the Roiv, that's enough to be considered the Roiv. Of course, there's an obvious question. And that is, when we started the sugya, the Taisus Rosh asked this question. When we started the sugya, the Gemara said that question is not pshita, that we follow the animal, the uber, and we don't follow the aver. And now we're saying that our Mishnah is coming to teach us that then. But according to what we learn now, why would our Mishnah teach us something that's not a chiddush? So he answers, since teaching us this halacha, yes, usually Mishnayos, he says, are reserved to teach us chedushim. But if a Mishnah is teaching us halachas, which obviously have in them chedushim, and adding another chiddush doesn't really require a lot of words, and yet we'll learn that chiddush, that's not something that the Mishnah wouldn't do. And that's why, even though correct, it doesn't really necessarily represent such a big chiddush, it still makes sense why it's mentioned. And that's why, even though it's not such a big chiddush, it says the Lev Aryeh, a different teretz. The halacha is that if Roiv of the Uver came out, the halacha is, even if it's Roiv just based on the miyat of one Aver, so that's not a question that it's certainly considered like it was born. But if most of Uber did not come out, even though only because you're relying on Roiv Aver, that the chiddush is not that we follow the Uber versus the Aver. The chiddush is to tell us that you have to have Roiv. And if you don't have Roiv, the halacha will tell us, when you don't have Roiv, the halacha is that it's not considered Roiv under any circumstances, and that 50% the Mishnah is telling us is not Roiv. So Gemara just focused on a very famous halacha of Ruba Kekula. So one very interesting discussion that I saw that the Taz already points out, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but at Tefillah, we say Meloich Al Kol Olam Kulay. And the question that the Taz asks, isn't that a redundancy? Meloich al kol ha'olam kulay? So he answers, the reason we use that wording in our tefillah on Yom HaNeroim is because if we would just say Meloich al kol ha'olam, we would rely on Ruba Kekulay. And that's not true. We don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rule just on Roiv of the world. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rule on the entire world. That's why we say Meloich al kol ha'olam kulay. But our Gemara, as we clearly said, says that we rely often in halacha on the concept of Ruba Kekula. So the question is, ask many achronim, why when it comes to matzah, so we know on Pesach, to be Mekayim Mitzvah Achilas Matzah, we have to eat a Kazayis Matzah. Why should it not be adequate that we should eat a roiv of kazayis and say rubika kula? So the Chasam Sofer, quoting Rav Shlomo Kruger, says that we only could say rubika kula when we have an entire amount in front of us, and then we say rubika kula. The example that he gives is the Sanhedrin. Yes, we're going to make a decision based on the decision of Roiv of the Sanhedrin, but that's only acceptable if we have the entire Sanhedrin. But we don't have the entire Sanhedrin, but we have enough to make a Roiv, that wouldn't be satisfactory. But that's not going to really be a great teretz. So let's say, so we have to have the whole kazayis. So the question really hasn't been answered. So let's say we'll have a whole kazayis of matzah in front of us, and Rubik Kakula should say, just eating roiv is enough. So one answer that the Achroinim suggest is that, when do we say it? When something is really one piece. When we have one piece, there we could say Rubik Kakula. We have a Sanhedrin. We have a minyan. We say Rubik Kakula. There's nothing that connects the matzah that we should say that this is one piece. And since there's nothing that connects the matzah, we have to say, we can't say Rubik Kakula. Others say that when it comes to eating kazayis matzah, for example, the halacha is that you have to have a certain amount of pleasure, whether it's hanos mayov that it came into your stomach, whether it's hanos korin that it came into your throat. You have to have a hanor that's given by a kazayis. And if it's not a kazayis, then you haven't achieved the hanor of what the Torah requires to fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, the halacha is that you can't rely on Rubik Kakula. The Klausenberg Rebbe gives a different explanation. He says, when we look at mitzvahs, and we often speak about shiurim when we speak about mitzvahs, explains the Klausenberg Rebbe that when we speak about shiurim and we speak about mitzvahs, he says a shiur could be viewed as a tnai, or a shiur could be viewed as the actual mitzvah. He says, when the shiur is just a tanai in the mitzvah, he says, then the halacha is, we say, Rubik Kakula. And that's like in our Gemara. But when the shiur is not just a shiur, when the shiur is the actual mitzvah, there we don't say Rubik Kakula. And therefore, he says, when we speak about Bechor, and when, at what point is the Bechor considered born, and at what point is it not considered born, so then the shear of Roiv is just a shear. And when we're speaking about a shear, we apply the concept of Rubik Kakula. But when we're speaking about Achilas Matzah, for example, the shear that we have to eat a kazayis of matzah is not a condition. It is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is you have to eat a kazayis of matzah. When the actual mitzvah is that you have to eat a certain shear, there you can't, says the Klausenberg Rebbe in the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yatzev, that you can't rely on the concept of Rubik Kakula. Says the Gemara further, by Rava, Karchai Besiv, as we've been discussing, that a Bechor is only considered a Bechor when it came out, when it was born naturally. So here, when the baby was born and it was put into Siv, it was put into some sort of a grass. So if that's the case, it didn't touch the actual rechem, it didn't touch the pet womb of the mother. And therefore, since it didn't touch the womb of the mother, so then the halach is not considered a chatzitza. The Igros Moshe explains why would we think that it's considered better rechem, that it should be considered better rechem if it didn't actually touch the rechem. So Ramesha says, why would somebody put the baby in the sieve? Ramesha says, somebody would put the baby in the sieve because the baby is cold and you want to keep it warm. So since this sieve is being put around the baby because it's for the benefit of the baby to stay warm, maybe that's why it should not be considered a problem. Or betalesai, when they put the baby in a piece, in a garment, and that's how it came out of its mother's womb, is the talus a chatzitza. B'shul yosoi, if the baby is in its sack, mahu wawa biralocha. Ask the mar, how could that be a shayla? B'shul yosoi, if it's in the sack in which the baby is when it's born, that isn't a question. That's certainly considered urchehu. That's certainly considered normal and should not be considered and should not have any question. El b'shulya cheres ma'u. If it was put into a different shulya, not its own sack, the sack of something else. What would be the halacha? Since on one hand it's normal to be in a sack, on the other hand it's not normal to be in this sack. Karchsa, or another question. Karchsa v'achsasa. If somebody took this baby, the hands of the midwife, whoever was delivering the baby, were around the baby as the baby was coming out. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, what is the case that we're speaking about? If the baby came out head first, Patrisei. So once the head comes out, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, once the baby comes out, there is no question, as we've been discussing, that is considered peterachim. Ella, the nafak da'agulaysov, it came out through its feet, and before it came out through its feet, this person put something around the baby, and the question is that going to be chatzitza? Is that going to be a chatzitza, and it will not be considered a bechor, or is it peterechem or not? Of course, the question that comes up when we learn this Gemara is when a baby is born with clamps. And the question is, a baby that was born with clamps as the baby was taken out from the mother's womb, will that child be considered a peterechem? Will that be considered a peterechem or not? So, the Shas Chuvas Chalkus Yaakov, Yeriday Simon Chav Vav discusses this question, and he says there's a Svek Sveka, and we should be lenient. Number one, all these questions that we just discussed in the Gemara are not clear if they're considered a chatzitza. And number two, he says that since part of the baby did touch the rechem, even though part of it did not touch the rechem, it should be considered a bechor because of all these reasons. The Avnei Nezer clearly disagrees, because the Avnei Glazer says, if we're going to say that if part of the baby touched the womb, that's already enough to make it into a peter rechem, so then all the questions that the Gemara just posed should not be questions. Because in all these cases that the baby, it certainly part of it touched the rechem. So that's not part of the consideration. The Ragachover in the Shailos HaTshuvos Tzofnas Pneach says that the question is that what would be if the baby could have come out without all of these different things? Just it was easier to come out that way. He says maybe that would not prevent it from being a peterechem. The Marsham says what we have to look at is what was the roiv. And roiv, if roiv of the baby that touched the rechem, it's fine. And if most than that, it's not going to be a peterechem. Says Ramosha that it might be very different when we talk about an animal or we talk about a person. He says that when you speak about an animal, so there halacha is that you have to have a full-fledged peter rechem. He says when we speak about a person, and these are various ways of just helping delivery, there may be a reason to be more lenient. Baal Sechulda, ask the Gemara if a cat swallowed the uber while it was still in its mother's womb. V'tziyasoi, and then it expelled mahu. Says the Gemara, Hetziyasoi, ha'afikte. It went out of the cat's body. It's certainly not a peterechem. Says the Gemara, that isn't the question. Elabolos of Hetziyasoi, the cat swallowed the uber from the womb of the mother. V'chnisasoi, and then it put it back out. put it back in, it swallowed it, and then it put it back into the mother's womb. And then Yotzimela, then it came out Mahu. And the Rishonim all make a very important point in these Gemaras and the questions that we're going to have in these Gemaras, that these are highly unlikely situations, and these Gemaras should be understood with the concept of Drosh V'Kabel Schar. We're just learning it in order to get Schar, but these are not really likely scenarios. Another situation, Hidbik Shnei Rechamim, if you connect the two wombs of two animals, V'yotzim Mizev and Nichnas Azeh, and the animal, the baby, went out from one womb and went out to the other womb. Today, when do we call it a Peter Rechem, says the Gemara? Only if it goes out the womb of its mother, that's when it's a Peter Rechem. If it's Lavdi Day, if it's not the womb of its mother, Loi Potter, Idilma, the Lavdi Day, even if it's not the womb of its mother, Nami Peter, it's still considered Peter Rechem. And as we just said, this too is obviously a situation which is extremely unlikely. But I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, in a Sefer Tellus Yoledes, does use this concept that the Gemara just mentioned regarding a baby that was born, and from when it was born, it was put into an incubator. And the question is the incubator considered an extension of the original womb of the mother? And if it's considered an extension of the womb of its of the mother of the baby, we know that we only do a pinyan aben 30 days after the baby is born. So if the baby was taken directly from the womb of his mother, obviously with a natural birth, and put into the incubator, maybe the 30 days only begin after it was taken out of the 30 days, only after it's taken out of the incubator. Or do we start from when it went out from the mother's womb? It says, he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, who says clearly that the loch is, we follow from when it went out of the womb of its mother. And similarly, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that we start the 30 days from when it exits its mother's womb, not from when it exits the incubator. If the walls of the womb opened up, so when the baby animal emerged from the womb, it didn't touch the walls of the Rechem Mahu. And the question, says the Gemara, is Ave Rechem Magdish, is it the airspace of the Rechem that makes this into Bechor, and that you had, or Dilma, or maybe what the Halacha says, is Negias Rechem Makacha. It has to touch the walls of the Rechem, V'aleka, and that we don't have, because the opening was so wide that it never touched. If the walls of the Beis Rechem were completely missing, Mahu, that's not a question. Nekru, if they're missing, Halesnu. It says, Nekru, if they were removed from where they normally are, the Talei B'Tzavari, and they were put on the top of the animal, and that's how the animal emerged, the baby emerged. Mai, do we say B'Mekayim B'Mekachi, only if the Rechem is where it's supposed to be, is it able to create a Peter Rechem? Shloim B'Mekayim, but if it's not where it's supposed to be, Loim B'Mekachi, it doesn't have the ability to make a Peter Rechem. Adoma, Shloim B'Mekayim Nami B'Mekachi, or maybe the Halach is, as long as they are where it's supposed to be, as long as they came out of a Rechem, it doesn't make a difference. By Menei Rav Yirmiyahu Rav Zeira, Kais Nigmumu, a part of the Rechem is peeled away. Nigmumu Kais Le Beis Rechem, Mahu Wawal Bid Alochem. Amalei, to which Rav Zeira said, Kenaga Babaydi Boilon, this is a question that we asked. The Bay Rav Zeira of Amalei Bominei Rav Zeira Mir of Asi. I'm a Meruba Poritz. Some of the Rechem is missing, but the rest is there. The majority is there. V'yotza derech haparts. But the baby emerged from the place where there is no Rechem. So the question is, do we look from where the baby emerged, and the baby did not come through a Beis HaRechem, or do we look that this is a place that has a Rechem? Parts Merubah La'amid, or if we have most of the Rechem peeled away, but some of it is remaining, and that's the place where the baby exited. V'yotza Darach Oimid, and the baby exited the place where there is Rechem. Mai Wawabir Alocha. Says the Gemara, at Kanlai Bailei, Parts Merubah La'amid, where the entire discussion was if we have mostly the Rechem remaining, or we have mostly the Rechem not remaining. Because when we have a case that we just discussed, that there's more parts of Merubah La'amid, but there is part of the Rechem still in existence. Ava Nigmu, if the Rechem was reduced because it was peeled away, says the Gemara Loi Kamei Bailei, then the halacha is that certainly it's not considered a Rechem. So what is your question? And therefore, says the Gemara, that if the Rechem was mostly peeled away, it's not considered a Rechem, and the baby that emerges from such a Rechem will not be considered a Pet Rechem. Begins the Mishnah. Behemah Shemes Ubra B'toich Me'al. If we have a situation where an animal, where a pregnant animal, the fetus died while it's in the womb of its mother. Vayishen es royas yada, and the royas sticks in his hand into that womb, v'naga, and touches that dead fetus, says the Mishnah, behemah behemah tamei behemah taira, whether it's a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, tahar, he remains tahar. It's not considered as if he touched a nevela. As long as the nevela is still in the womb of its mother, the halacha does not view this as if he touched a nevela. Rav Yosef Glili Omer, but Tameya, if it's a non-kosher animal, then indeed you touching that uber will make you tamei, even though it's still in the womb of the mother. But tahira, but if it's a kosher animal, tahar. Ask the Gemara, my time in the Tanakama, what's the reason for the Tanakama? And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, it seems to the Gemara that it should really be tamei. And that's why the Gemara is asking, why does the Tanakama say that whether if it's a kosher animal, if it's a non-kosher animal, as long as this fetus is still in the mother's womb and you touch it, it's not considered like a nevela, it should be a nevela. And the question is, as we're going to be learning in our sugya, isn't this a situation of tumma belua? And tumma belua never gives over tumma. So one teretz, which Rashi offers, is that our Gemara is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that tumma belua is metama. That's why it's difficult to understand the opinion of Tanakama. Tosfos says that even if we follow the opinion that tumma belua is not metama, here we would say that maybe it is metama, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi learns from a pasuk the basis for his opinion, and therefore we would think that this is different. The Balamar says that maybe what the Gemara means to say is this ought not to be considered a tumma belua, because we have a whole fetus in the mother's womb. So even though it's the mother's womb, but since it's a whole existing fetus, that should not be considered a tumma. It should not be considered a tumma belua. Another explanation that I saw the Meiri offers. The Meiri says, as we learned and will learn, the body of an animal is different than the body of a human being. So by a human being, there's a proizder. And that's why, since there's a proizder, the fetus that's in the womb is considered tumma belua. But as we learned and are going to learn, that by animal, we don't have that. And by an animal, there is no proizder. And that's why the Gemara was assuming that if there's no proizder, this is not considered a tumma belua. So again, ask the Gemara, my time of the Tanakama, why is the Tanakama clearly of the opinion that if somebody stuck the hand into the womb of the mother and the animal, the fetus is dead, you're not tamei? Amar Rav Chisda, it's based on a Kal V'Chomer. If we're saying that the mother's shechita of the mother is so powerful that it could take care of the baby, it should also help that the baby is not considered a nevela. As we've said many times already in the course of learning this perek, that this halacha that of Ben Pekur, that when you shech the mother, it helps for the baby, there's two ways of learning it. One is that the shechita of the mother is considered like a shechita of the baby. And the other way to understand it, as the Asfund Raisa tells us, is that there's no requirement for shechita on the baby because it's considered like an organ, a limb of the mother. So if we learn the pshat is that the shechita of the mother is going to work for the baby, that doesn't help us understand Rav Chisda's Kal V'Chomer. But if we understand what the Gemara means to say here is that it's an organ of the mother. So if it's an organ of the mother, and the mother's not tamei, so therefore touching that baby, which is an organ of the mother, is also not tamei. So this approach of the Gemara, Seir Achroinim, points in the direction that when we speak about Ben Pekua, it's not to be understood that the shechita of the mother is the shechita of the baby, rather that the baby is considered part of the mother. Says the Gemara, but this explanation that we just gave works by Behemoth Tahira, because there we have the concept of a Ben Pekua. Behemoth Tameya Manolan, how do we, as the Tanakhama applies this concept, even by Behemoth Tameya, ask the Gemara, how does he say so? Amakra answers the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'chiyamas min behema shilam la'achla negeba and vasa yitma da'erif. V'chiyamas min behema su behema tameya. Ashil chem la'achla zu behema ta'ira. It says the Gemara, Iskish behema ta'ira. The ta'ira treats the behema tameya like it treats the behema ta'ira. Ma behema ta'ira, we said that ubra is tar. If the ubra is dead, but you touch it while it's still in its mother's womb, it doesn't give off tumah. Af behemet tameya, says the Gemara, ubra tahor. But Rabbi Yosi Aglili in our Mishnah, as we just learned, differentiates between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Aglili maitama, what is the basis of Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion? Says the Gemara, Amr of Yitzchak, damakra. The pasuk says, v'chol choylich akapov, the kol achaya leches abra tameim heim lechem kol anegeben of losim yitmar erev. The pasuk is speaking about a behemoth tameya that doesn't have split hooves and therefore it walks on its legs. It doesn't have the split legs. The pasuk says the kol, and then the pasuk doesn't say v'chol achaya. Ella it says b'chol achaya mahalke chayim. That you have an uber that's in its mother's womb, Tarek Dosha says that uber is tummy. El me'ato, if we're saying that if that's the case, call it. It will have the child of a cow, the bay para, but it doesn't have split hooves, litma, because there too will be a situation, the machalki kapayim, it's of animal that doesn't walk on many feet in a chaya, and therefore the halacha should be that it should give off tumah. And Rabbi Yosef Glili in our Mishnah says that if the mother is tahor, there's never a problem if you touch the uber that's dead. Answers the Gemara Mahalchi Kapayim, but Mahalchi Arba, that when both the mother and the child have split hooves, hi Mahalchi Arba, but here we have 4 and 8, because the mother had 8 split hooves, and therefore, even though it only has 4, it looks like it's walking on 8 because of its mother. But now ask the Gemara, the halacha therefore should be para, if you have 8, because the baby has split hooves, but may gomel, par may gomel, that the gomel has also split hooves, lo tatami, the mahalchi shmoina, you'll have a case where you have split hooves mahalchi arba, and it shouldn't give off tumah. But our Mishnah Rabbi Yosi Glili said that if it's a non-kosher animal and you stick your hand in and touch the dead uber, you'll be tumah, and it doesn't differentiate if the mother has split hooves or the baby has split hooves. The Mishnah differentiated if the mother's a kosher animal or not a kosher animal. Answers the Gemara, the Torah says, Hoylech al Kapov, but the Torah says, Vikol Hoylech, the Rabbis Parba Mei Gomel, that since the mother is a camel, a non-kosher animal, even though the baby maybe looks like a kosher animal, it doesn't make a difference, it will give off Tuma. But then asked the Gemara, Kolot Bemei Kluta, what happens if you have the mother and the baby are cows, but they don't have split hooves? Tama, the Mahalcha Arba Mahalcha Arbahu. Nobody has a split hoof. But at the end of the day, it's a kosher animal. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi says, as long as it's a kosher animal, I don't have a problem. And it says the Gemara, Lachahani Kalvachim de Rav Chisda. For that, we rely on the Kalvachim of Rav Chisda, that if the Shechita of the mother works for the baby, it'll also protect that the baby can't give off Tumma. Mask of Rav Akhtumi Barama, if the Lacha is that if the mother and the baby are tamei, that's when this tuma chaz b'mei chazir t'loy litma, the mahal chishmanu b'mahal chishmanu, who they both have split hooves, and we're saying it's dependent on being split hoof. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak, because of all these questions, Rabbi Yossi Gemara retreats and gives a different explanation how to understand Rabbi Yossi Glili's opinion. That Rabbi Yossi Glili in our Mishnah differentiated if the mother, if it's a kosher animal and you touch the dead uber, you will not be tamei. And if it's not a kosher animal and you touch the uber, you will be tamei. Elam Nachma Yitzhami Hacha. The Pasuk says, Nefesh Shetiga B'chol Dovah Tamei, Oy B'Nivlas Chai Tameya, Oy B'Nivlas Behemoth Tameya, Oy B'Nivlas Sheretz Tamei, V'Nel Memenevu Tamei V'Oshim. And the Pasuk seems to be somewhat different. V'china Velas Behemoth Tamei Metama. Is it only a nevela of a non-kosher animal that gives off tuma? Ubatahira loy matama, and the nevela of a kosher animal doesn't give off tuma, but that's clearly incorrect, because the pasuk says v'chiyamas manu behema shil lachem laochla and the game in the vlasa yitmar erif. So why is the Torah speaking tumas nevela only by a non-kosher animal? El is ezazeh. What must this pasuk be speaking about? The pasuk is speaking about the uber, the dead fetus. That when it's in the womb of its mother, if it's a non-kosher animal, that uber, even though it's still in its mother's womb, gives off tama and tahira tahira. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. If we now understand that the basis for Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion is based on what Rabbi Nachman Ben Yitzchak said in this pasuk, to Rabbi Yitzchak, that he just said that whole pasuk of Ahoyl Chalkapov, where the Gemara went back and forth how to understand that pasuk. Normally, why do we use that pasuk? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Elav de Rav Yitzchak, if we didn't have Rav Yitzchak's pasuk, we would think Havamina, we would think that the pasuk there of Nachman by Yitzchak just quoted, Kula le Rebbe Asa. It's coming to teach us Halacha that Rebbe teaches us on Daf Ayin Aleph. The pasuk and Av Ayin Aleph is coming to, the whole pasuk is coming to teach us that pasuk, not where Rabbi Nachman Ben Yitzchak teaches us. Kamash Malon, that's why Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us that there's a reason based on the pasuk of Chalkel Chalkapov that we should use that pasuk to differentiate between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal when we speak about the uber, which is in the womb of a dead uber in the womb of its mother.